back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. Some of you use it, some of you abuse it, but keep it coming. Let's go to our next guest. Always a pleasure to bring on. Sort of the man of the hour. He's gotten a lot of attention with his latest column on Mike Durant, candidate for United States Senate here. Our columnist Steve Flowers joins us on the line. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good to be with you, Jeff. You're a mighty popular young radio talk show guy. Everybody talks about you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you can just keep the praises coming. We always appreciate that. Steve, column has gotten a lot of attention lately. I think the Brit campaign, the Brit forces have used it to their advantage. Who is Mike Durant? Sending out a screenshot of it. I think it was in the Dothan Eagle, but I think it's an appropriate question to ask. We don't know a lot about this guy, and we continue to not know much about this guy. I mean, I know he's given a bunch of speeches, and I know he's written a book, but just as far as his position on politics in particular, I feel like we're a little lacking there, perhaps.
Well, you know, a lot of folks have thanked me for writing that about who is Mike Durant. And I do a little research on it, you know, try to find out some things. But, you know, you hear things. You spend some time in Huntsville, and you heard early on from Huntsville people a little bit of, like, apprehension about the fact, you know, this guy, he said he lives in Huntsville. I know he's got a company there, but I've never seen him at a civic event or never seen him at another to a Republican meeting. And the one thing that has resonated from a lot of the emails I've got is they said, you know, the fact that he's only voted one time his entire life in Alabama, and that was in 2008. And so the question I posed to my readers was, is this guy, one of three things, he's either not a Republican, two, he's not in Alabama, and three, he's not either one of them. Well, you know, I think this is starting to get out a little bit, but I think his visits are cursory in nature. I don't think he's really, like we used to know, really getting out and campaigning. He's making an appearance just to say he went to a certain county or so. I compared him to Jeremiah Denton in my column. And Jeremiah Denton was a good man. And I think Durant's a good man, and they served the country well. But in his ads and all his, he never addressed any issues. He never says where he's going to stand. And, you know, he flies a helicopter and got a lot of money. Undoubtedly, he paid a lot of money. I'm told, and then people go, they make him out of the air later, that home he has in Colorado is worth $25 to $30 million. Now, I don't know this, but he sold his business supposedly and using money to run for the Senate. My guess is if he is elected, and when they're out of session in the Senate, I don't know that he goes home to Alabama. I think he may go home to Colorado. But it seems like Colorado.
Well, here's the deal, and I walked through this earlier in the show. There's a lot of that. He's given a lot of speeches. A lot of them are on tape. He's written books. There's documented stuff about him out there. However, the thing is, like, you don't know how he arrived to some of his political thoughts, his political philosophies. Like, I just think this, just based on listening to him talk. Particularly on, the Second Amendment stuff. I don't know that he's given thought to it. I would like to know, what I would like to see from Mike Durant is his evolution into politics and how he arrived at his belief system that he is going to base his decision making on in the United States Senate. I don't necessarily know this to be the case. I've been thinking about it. I said this earlier in the program. There's probably not going to be much difference in the way the three, Mo Brooks, Katie Britt, and Mike Durant would vote, but there could be. I mean, we could have the one thing I always like to say that we could have another shooting or something like that, and there could be a knee-jerk reaction in the United States Senate to do something with guns, and it would come down to, well, how does he look at the Second Amendment? I mean, these things could potentially happen, and we need to have discussions about them.
I think it's stupid to bring that point up, because I got, as you might expect. I got a lot of emails and correspondence from the column about what we just talking about, and he asked to meet with me, and I met with he and his people Thursday night in Birmingham, and I bet you I got 500 emails, and I was getting them constantly. But where I was getting them from, and this goes back to the thing I told us, y'all may not be worried about my column about whether you really live in Alabama or not. You'd be concerned about that gun issue. I bet you I got 200 or 300 emails from gun owners thanking me for the column, and they had already had a little apprehension about the rant on the gun issue. And and you bring up a very valid point. He's not really saying, I mean, you're saying he's for the, I mean, Second Amendment. I mean, anybody running for the Senate in Alabama would have to be for the Second Amendment gun rights. But I can tell you right now that there are a lot of gun people in Alabama that vote that ticket. I'm telling you, I heard from NRA people. My perception was, Jeff, that there is some kind of communication between NRA members in this state. And I got a brother, an older brother, my only sibling. His only reason for voting is NRA. He has an artillery. I mean, that's his only issue. So I have a family member. There are a lot of those people in Alabama, and you bring up a extremely good point. That really could be a crucial issue for them. If you don't really know Durant's position on that, you know, there could be, with a 50-50 Senate, and he goes over and migrates with Mitt Romney and Susan Collins, and they decide they want to get guns. I mean, that's a valid issue for those voters. I mean, they're concerned, I can tell you that right now.
I mean, we've seen it in the past. After Sandy Hook, Joe Manchin and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania hatched together a bipartisan, some kind of a common sense gun bill. And it was derided by Second Amendment advocates. And, you know, but these are the kind of things that they come up from time to time in the U.S. Senate. And that's why I think, you know, this is not just paying lip service to the Second Amendment is saying I like to hunt and I have a collection of guns. There is a policy component to this. And part of that, how you derive the policy, really depends on how you view your philosophy on the Second Amendment. What does it mean to you? Why is it in the Constitution? Like, these are questions. This is the kind of stuff that needs to be discussed. And I feel like right out of the gate, once those comments resurfaced from 2011 at the U.S. Army College, War College that he gave, that he should have sat down and either given a speech or written an op-ed or an essay or done something to explain a little bit better about what the Second Amendment means to him. Why did the founders put it in the Constitution? What does it mean for self-defense? What does it mean overthrowing a tyrannical government? These things, I mean, you could say what you want to about it, but at least explain it to the voters.
Well, you bring a very good point, and I got to tell you again, that's from the correspondence I got the column who was Mike Durant, the gun people, the NRA, Second Amendment people who vote that ballot and are very interested in that issue are a little apprehensive and skeptical of him on that issue. And quite frankly, they've got a valid reason for being. I mean, I'm sure he's okay on it, but you don't know. I mean, you don't know. And it's not a clear majority. We don't have 60 Republican senators out there. And you're not going to have, you may think of a majority in the midterms, but, you know, you get a couple of Mitt Romneys and Susan Collins together, and the lady from Cassidy, they say, well, you know, this is my last term. I don't have to face NRA voters anymore. I really think this is what we ought to do. Durant's got a one-term senator written all over him. I think he's doing it to cap off his career and say he was a U.S. senator while being a POW and a successful businessman. I think that I don't know where the man goes back home to, but if I had a $30 million home in Colorado, that might be where I'm at.
Well, I would take it a step further, Steve. I mean, that's just the Second Amendment stuff. We don't know about this guy and his opinion on like the pro-life stuff or his well, you know, used to be, and we've gotten away from this in our politics, but it used to be you had to really talk up your faith. You had to talk about your view on these social issues, the value of life, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage. Now we've, you know, not, you don't go full Roy Moore, but you do have to at least have that in your repertoire to talk about it. And he hasn't done that at all.
Well, it's like I said in the column, this is an old Southern saying, and a colloquialism, but it's, you buy the ring, you're buying a pig and a poke. I mean, you don't know where he stands on any issue. I mean, when you get right down to it, I mean, I call him a family in Kansas. Like I say, he's been out making a few cursory visits now, but I think somebody ought to know something about my state, generally speaking, too. I mean, like, what industries are important in certain counties, and, you know, how important grants are to UAB, and, you know, how to get things done. But right. You're right on the issues, especially that gun issue. I can tell you that that's a close vote. And then, you know, it's a pig in a poke. You ever heard that saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's welcome on this show. He's been on one time since he's ran, and that was right after his announcement. That's the other thing that's always kind of a red flag to guys like me. And look, I don't have a horse in this race, but the point is, you dodge a talk radio or shows like this. It makes me wonder. Well, what are you afraid of? I'm not going to ambush you. I'm not going to do any of that. And we have Katie Britt on from time to time. We had Mo Brooks on today. This is it's not just this show, but any other show. If you want to go on another show, and I can hear you to talk about this stuff, that's fine, but we just haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I think he's probably a pig in a poke. You don't know exactly where he stands on issues or exactly where he lives, to tell the truth. I don't know. I think he's probably a good man, you know, but that's an important seat. It's an important seat for the country, especially for gun owners. I mean, you don't really know where he stands on many issues.
No, and I guess we'll find out one way or another. If he does get elected, we will certainly find out. But, it's a curious phenomenon. I feel like, though, Steve, let's talk about this real quick, just kind of the state of the race beyond Durant. Katie Britt, Durant starting to swap some blows. I think Congressman Brooks has bottomed out, and he's kind of trending up. I don't know that he's got enough left in the gas tank there to get to the runoff, but that seems to be kind of where the race is turning the corner here as we head down this last month stretch.
It looks like it. I don't know. The thing I mentioned, the club approach just seems really double down on busting Katie Britt. Now, I don't know whether they're doing that. I want to think that there's just a animosity between Shelby and the club approach. That they just said, look, Shelby looked him in the eye and said, we're not going to let you win the Senate seat in Alabama. But they show, and they've got, if they're disingenuous, they're tough ass. That Club for Growth has busted Katie Britt the entire time. I don't know, I think that Candace is Mo. I think they think Mo's got a chance to keep it, you know, to resurrect himself. I don't know that. I don't know the philosophy of the Club for Growth. But they ain't backing off spending money, I can tell you that.
Well, they did this to Bradley Byrne. And just inexplicably, they opposed Congressman Byrne in 2020, even though he was kind of a third-place candidate. It really became a Sessions-Tuberville fight there at the end, but they stayed true to opposing Bradley Byrne. The Club for Growth's always been a head-scratcher to me, but they've taken a real interest in Alabama.
They sure have. Now, that's the one thing. They have not backed off. I mean, they got a new one out last night. It's just tough as it can be. You know, they determined to spend money in Alabama.
Well, and then they play in these Senate races, but they also played in a bunch of House races here.
Well, they could bury more.
And he continues to be their guy. When Coleman was flirting with that race, they were like, hey, don't touch Barry Moore. He's still our guy. They endorsed him, and they were putting out polls and showing that, you know, this is the only way you're not going to beat him.
I'm told they picked his staff. I don't know that.
That's always been, and this is more, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but when the word on the street is this, when Clifford Grove comes in and they invest heavily in your campaign, they get a vote. They get a seat at the table when you're picking your staff. And that's true for the campaign, and that's true for if you do win, you get, you know, that's who's going to get picked. But you look at who Barry Moore's hired. I mean, they're all, you got the former chief of staff for Luther Strange as his chief of staff. I mean, you got a lot of Alabama folks in Barry Moore's office. So I don't know. You make of that what you will, but that seems to kind of be at least the rumor when it comes to Club for Growth and working with them.
Well, they're still playing in Alabama. No question about it. I'm like, you got a good memory. Bradley Byrne, bless his heart, has been tattooed by a soldier. They've got it. Got it. They're trying to beat him.
Right. They just hammered
him. You ever have him on your show? You ever talk to him, anybody?
He's been on Sean's show since then, but I've talked to Bradley over the years, yeah.
Yeah, Carl comes on your show, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. And he certainly took it from the Club for Growth. They came out hard for Hightower in 20.
He beat them. I respect him for beating them. He took it on the chin for them. They spent some money against him.
And they made his race very, very expensive. Hey, Steve, we're up against a break here. We got to get one more break in here, but you've been very kind to make time for us this morning.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Look forward to visiting with you next time.
We'll do it again soon. Steve Flowers, ladies and gentlemen, columnist. You can read him around the state. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
The desert's quiet. Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Ponto Nemo.